He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, let's go back to bed and put the covers over our head version of the Best Stocks Now show with Dow down 316 right now, 34,558. It got up to 35,000 yesterday. That seems to be acting as resistance now. It backed off. NASDAQ, even worse here today as interest rates the big story. We're going to talk about interest rates and inflation on today's show quite a bit. The NASDAQ is down 288, let's see, 286 right now to 14,682. It was down 78 yesterday. Yesterday the tech stocks fell. On rising interest rates, and then overnight, we closed yesterday at 1.48 on the 10-year, and today we're at 1.54 on the 10-year, so we're up another 6 basis points. I think we need to look at a chart when we get into the show a little bit more on that 1-year chart of the 10-year rates. We saw them go up to 1.9. back in February and March, so we'll talk about that here in a bit. The small caps down 1% today, NASDAQ down 2%. Crude oil continues to rise, okay? That's very inflationary, obviously, up 27 cents, 75.72. In fact, crude oil is a big chunk of the inflation numbers that come out every month. Gold down $21. Go figure. Gold used to like inflation. Now it doesn't seem to budge. 1731 on gold. You've got the 10-year at 1.56 now and continuing to rise. I see a little panic there. I think it will settle down here pretty soon. Bitcoin is down 1640 to 41,924. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, you know, the big story, and I've been saying that we've got to watch interest rates very, very closely. It looks to me like 1.6 is pretty strong resistance on the 10-year. We're at 1.56 now, so we're almost there. And I would just say that this big spike in interest rates, just looking at a chart of it here, looks a little overdone and a little overheated, a little parabolic here at the current time. It all began when Fed Chairman Powell, he didn't hike rates. He did announce about the same timeline for the taper, but it was the dot plot. It was the dot plot. You can blame this sell-off over the last 3 days on the dot plot, which seems to move the interest rate hike by the Fed, either a quarter of a point, half a point, whatever it will be, to late next year. Okay, let's say the fall of next year, a year from now. But the market, you know, always overreacts. That's just the nature of the beast. And the market started taking interest rates up on its own without any help from the Fed other than the jawboning by the Fed, the verbiage by the Fed, which has sent the bond yield higher and the bond market lower ever since Jerome Powell's comments. Now, it's interesting to note that two of the Fed panel, the Open Market Committee, leaving the Fed over kind of a controversy, them trading some pretty large stock portfolios, the individual stock portfolios. Well, you know what? They get inside information on interest rates. So that ain't cool. And they're just going to retire early rather than face the scrutiny of the regulators. But that just kind of shows how you know, how the dot plot could easily change if a couple people come in there with different ideas about interest rates and inflation. So should we rely on those dot plots? How reliable are they when you've got two of the people that helped form those dot plots leaving the Fed? So we'll see. I'm seeing resistance at 1.60. We're at 1.56 now. I don't think I would do anything drastic right now. You know, if you sell and panic on every single down move in the market, like we've had over the past few days, just think back to 2009 when the Dow was at, 6,500. Today it's at 35,000. You could have sold 1,000 times along the way and ran to cash on every little emotional move in the market. Now, I'm not saying that eventually the market will not top out, and it will be time to move to cash. In fact, Morgan Stanley continues on their bearish stance, saying that cash is not trash, and I believe that. There are times when cash is absolutely not trash. It's a great place to park money. But would I panic right now? You've seen many incidents come up in the market. Last Monday, a week ago Monday, it was the Evergrande situation in China. And you see how fast that dissipated, okay? I'm not saying that it can't get worse and can't come to the front burner once again. But once that dissipated, you know, by Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the NASDAQ was off to the races once again. And then, of course, Jerome Powell really didn't change the rhetoric that much coming from the Fed. But the market, as usual, overreacts. And, you know, the more those interest rates go up 2, 3, 4 basis points, the more panic it creates. And I think you're in that panic selling mode right now in the bond market. And I think you're in a panic selling mode right now in the NASDAQ, the tech stocks also. I think it's also important to remember one of the people I respect in the market, Mark Mobius, who's been a global investor for many years, quite well known. He makes the claim, and I think it's absolutely true. I think one of the reasons that inflation has been held down so low over the last many years are all the advances in technology. There's no question about it. It's made workers more efficient. It's helped improve a cost at many companies by using the technology that's available today. And the technology just keeps getting better and better. So actually, technology, many technology stocks, I would say semiconductors would be a good example, help keep inflation low. And Mobius mentioned that he's actually investing. A way to fight inflation, in his opinion, is to invest in technology stocks that help companies lower their cost. Another thing I observed yesterday, obviously the banks had a really good day, and I'm sure they're having another decent day today. I haven't had a chance to dig in too much, but just looking at the S&P 500 here right now, I do see, well, I don't really see any bank stocks, but yesterday they were the big winners. Today it's the oil stocks once again. Marathon, here's your winners in the S&P 500 right now. Marathon, Schlumberger, Halliburton, Cimarex Energy, Baker Hughes, Cabot Oil, the first seven are energy, oil, and gas stocks. Our state, South Carolina, gasoline prices are up $1 per gallon. $1 per gallon versus this same time last year. $1. That's a big jump. When you divide $1 into about, $1.80, you get about a 60% rise in gasoline prices over the last 12 months. And I think I'm starting to see sticker shock at some of the local restaurants, especially as it relates to beef. Holy cow, sticker shock. I don't know, it was just the particular restaurant I went to, but I saw one of the dishes that's been on their menu for years go up 25%, 25% since my last visit there 5 weeks ago. 25%. That is a big jump, and it's basically a beef-centric dish. So I got to believe that the price of cows and beef are soaring right now, and there's other inflation happening. What will that do to, you know, cattle are part of the climate change issue. What will that do to milk prices, cottage cheese, mozzarella? Let's not forget mozzarella. But you go buy a quality steak, I bet if you go to Costco, I haven't been to Costco for about a month, you're going to see sticker shock if you're looking at any of the red meat type stuff. Well, anyways, on that note, we got a lot to talk about today. I think the biggest topic on the table today, inflation and interest rates. Again, inflation and interest rates. But at the end of the day, it will be earnings that will win out. And in 2 days, the end of this quarter happens, and we begin a whole nother new earnings season, which will be very, very important. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Second half of today's I'm going back to bed and putting my pillow over my head show. Well, you know what? Some days are just like that in the market. And there's not a whole lot you can do to avoid days like that. And eventually we will run into another recession and another bear market. So we obviously have to analyze these days and these trends and see if it is the end. I would still say that the most important indicator of all are earnings, that earnings expectations. And we're going to get a little clearer picture here in the coming weeks as we complete the third quarter of this year in 2 days. Today's September 28th, and then the books will close. All the sales will then go into the next quarter, and all the expenses will then go into the next quarter. And we'll find out when those companies report how they did versus last year. Right now, the estimate overall for the S&P 500 is for earnings to grow by 27.6% versus last year. And yes, it is an easier comparison because of the COVID. But still, the quarter that we just had, Q2, it started out like at 40 or 50%. It ended up being almost 100% better than the same quarter last year. I mean, we had blowout earnings. So we'll see how this quarter goes. Like I say, I don't think it's time to do anything drastic yet. I am seeing the 10-year moderate just a little bit. I think 1.56 it got up to today. I can't see it going much higher than 1.60. That's just me, just looking at charts. But now the market's kind of, the yields were in panic mode. They've started to moderate and settle down, but the market continues in panic mode right now as people run to their phones to sell, probably not the best of ideas on a day like today. Maybe we'll look at some buying opportunities. Just think what happens if the interest rates top out at 1.6 and start heading back down to 1.4 again. Okay, that would be bullish and turn the market right around on a dime. So you have to be very careful during times like this not to give in to emotion, which is one of the biggest enemies to the individual investor. All right, well, let's talk inflation here because it's really dominating the news. It's pretty obvious to me that inflation is not as transitory as we've been told, and even the Fed is starting to give in and admit that inflation is persistent, and it's not going away. Now, that another dynamic you have going on here, if inflation gets worse or stays persistent like it is right now, that could move the Fed sooner rather than later in hiking interest rates, okay? So that's another factor that you have. I mean, every time we get an inflationary number, right now it seems to be oil driving the inflation expectations, because oil does make up a big part of the inflation numbers that come out every month. And I think that's panicking the market just a little bit, thinking that, well, now the Fed might have to move midway through next year instead of towards the end of the year. Well, we're going to hear from Jerome Powell today, and apparently he is going to remove that word transitory from his speech. In the meantime, you've got another big cross current in the market today and this week. I talked about it yesterday. You've got this debt ceiling coming up on Friday. And last night, the GOP blocked an effort by the Democrats to fund and get by the debt ceiling, to suspend it for another while of time, and it was blocked. But in the meantime, you've got this big $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill coming up for vote this week, which would be very inflationary. Okay, anytime you take on more debt, it and devalue your currency, that's inflationary. And we'll also have a vote this week. Maybe they're trying to tie the two together. Most of the Democrats don't want the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill if they can't get the $3.5 trillion bill at the same time. Yes, that adds up to $5 trillion. And they're not going to, looks like at least right now, not have a separate vote on these two packages, but they keep trying to bundle them together. It ain't going to work because there's a couple of Democrats, the senator from Arizona, and, of course, Joe Manchin, a cinema from Arizona, that aren't going to go along with the $3.5 trillion and the tax hikes that are included there. And that's another dynamic in the market this week. I say that the most important indicator on the market are earnings and future earnings expectations. Well, a tax hike on corporations. We're talking about the corporate tax, which currently sits at 21%. If you take that back up to 25, 26, wherever it ends up, those earnings on the S&P 500s are after-tax earnings. And you hike taxes, and it's going to take a bite out of earnings, and it's going to lower the value of the S&P 500. Okay, Case-Shiller Home Price Index increases slightly in July. I think it's kind of moderated, but I'm still reading that in some markets. I just saw a report on the Nashville, Tennessee market. 10 days is the average time on the market in Nashville, Tennessee. 10 days. Home prices nationwide up 19.9% year over year. Phoenix, San Diego, and Seattle had the highest year-over-year gains among the 20 cities in July. Phoenix, 32.4% year-over-year. Why aren't we buying single-family homes in Phoenix? Followed by San Diego, where I moved from. Spent 55 years of my life there. San Diego, a 28% increase year-over-year. And Seattle with a 25.5%. rise in home prices. Oil prices topped $75 per barrel. I think that's probably having one of the biggest impacts on the bond market right now, because oil, like I have said, is a big part of the inflation numbers that come out and the inflation numbers that the Fed watches. And I priced, I've had to fill up my car yesterday. And a few extra 5-gallon jugs, just in case. Boy, I'll tell you what, there was a little sticker shock there. And then to add insult to injury, I go out to dinner with my wife and there's sticker shock there. Well, let's hope it's more transitory. Gasoline prices up $1 per gallon in our neck of the woods since this same time last year. Well, more on these issues. Is it time to panic and run? This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, I'd like to say things have gotten a little better during the break, but they've remained about the same. The Dow down 424 right now, 34,441. Kind of reminiscent of last Monday's ever grande crunch in the market. At one time on last Monday, it was down 900 points. During the day, I sent out a tweet. I said, I don't think this ever grande moment is the end of the 10-year or 12-year-old bull market that's taken the S&P from 450 to 4,500 today, or from 650 to 4,500 today. And, I have to look at a lot of charts here today and see what I'm seeing. I do think that the spike in bond rates is overdone here, and I think it will settle down. And, of course, if the bonds start to rally again, the bond market, it is starting to fall back here. The 10-year hit 1.56 this morning, and now it's backed off 2 basis points to 1.54. But the market probably hasn't even noticed that yet, because right now people are so nervous and panicky and in panic mode, they're selling their tech stocks as fast as they can. But interest rates are starting to moderate here, which would be good news. Bank of America eyeing $100 oil as energy has lifted at the open. Well, I don't know about that. You know, we see a lot of predictions like that are kind of way outside the norm. But their line of thinking is, we don't want to use coal. We want to use less and less gas. We want to move away from oil. So this policy ultimately is going to create deeper and deeper underinvestment. And the issue is, we can't sort all these things at once. Well, you know, if we're undergoing this big, giant move and shift away from fossil fuels, which we are. I read yesterday that one of the biggest natural gas producers, it's a Danish company, they shuttered their plant. It's been one of the major natural gas producers for decades in Europe, but because of like small tremors from the fracking in the areas that they drill for the natural gas, they shuttered the plant. Well, there's going to be consequences at some point in time, whether it's better for the air quality or not. All of a sudden, you know, they're talking about a shortage of natural gas this winter in Europe, and they're expecting a cold winter. And you're seeing natural gas prices now hit 10-year highs. The XOP, which is the oil and gas ETF, up 17% over the last 5 trading days. I would also say that that's overdone right now. You know, that's just the nature of the beast. Things start to move, and as they move a little higher or a little lower, the panic mode sets in, emotions set in, and these things are overdone on the upside and on the downside. And I think the buying in the oil stocks is probably overdone right now. U.S. natural gas surges 11% to 7-year highs. Okay, now we're cutting back in the U.S., and we're making some lands off limits to the frackers and the drillers. When the mantra, you know, was drill, baby, drill by the GOP, that ain't happening right now. We're going the opposite way. And there's no question that that has some kind of an impact on the supply. And it makes us a little more dependent upon foreign supply of oil. We've been there before. So all of these forces at work right now, and things seem to be happening very, very rapidly. In the meantime, what else moved yesterday? The electric cars. Well, it would just look to me like, and I see those stocks moving again today. I mean, even Toyota broke out yesterday. Ford is up 3% today. GM is moving. Tesla had a major breakout yesterday to the upside. And I think maybe, you know, they want to speed up this transition from the combustion engine to electric vehicles. And, you know, one way of doing that, obviously, would be to crimp oil supplies and drive oil prices higher. We've heard of that strategy before as it related to the coal-powered plants. But at the same time, it causes disruption. It causes oil and gas prices to spike. But take a look at those EV stocks right now. The real ones, okay, not the ones that are way out there, Lordstown Motors and that, but yesterday I saw a good movement in Fisker, in Workhorse, in Zev, in Tesla, and even the traditional auto makers, Toyota, GM, Ford, all had very nice breakouts yesterday to the upside. And look who's getting in on the act of autonomous trucking. Goodyear Tire and Rubber. That stock is on the move today. I've heard that the Reddit crowd is on GT, Goodyear Tire and Rubber. They announce a multi-year collaboration with GATEC, as it looks to advance the development of mobility solutions for the autonomous B2B short-haul logistics industry. Well, will we ever see trucks going down the road without a driver? I don't know. You know, that's one of the problems. What's driving up oil prices and gasoline prices in the UK? The lack of drivers. Well, maybe that will move up the movement towards autonomous electric trucks crisscrossing the American interstates without a driver or a monitor or whatever. But that's also a problem right now, and it's starting to come hit the U.S., the shortage of drivers delivering the gasoline to the stations. In England, or in the U.K., it's a pretty serious problem. One-third of the gas stations over there right now are dry, and people in panic mode. If that's not enough, how about shipping prices? I noticed the shipping stocks soaring yesterday. The BDRY index, which is an ETF that you can buy that has all of these shipping stocks in it, they are blasting off. Diana Shipping, Euroseas, oh, there's a whole bunch of publicly traded shipping companies. Another area where there's inflation, labor costs. Lazard had to raise the base salary of their junior bankers. Okay, you got a kid going to college, telling him he should become a junior banker. Someday he'll be a senior banker. They start off at $200,000 in base pay after Lazard raised salaries for all associates by $50,000. That's a 33% hike in wages and salary for junior bankers, because the competition for junior bankers is so fierce amongst Jefferies and companies like Goldman Sachs, etc., that to compete, they had to raise their salaries for a junior banker. You start out $200,000 a year. You hear that, parents who just sent your kids to college? All right, let's see what else we got here. Inflation spike may take another year to subside. That's what New York Fed's John Williams says. And then on the other side, you got another one saying that we're not even going to reach the 2% for the year. So it's all over the place right now. British warehouse labor costs set to increase up to 30%. I saw a tweet this morning by the British Prime Minister that first we have a worker shortage, and now they've got big a food shortage and prices going up. He says, what's next? Crickets or something like that, something that would hit their crops. Locust, I think he said. Use the word locust. But anyways, that's what's going on in the UK. Pfizer CEO Birla expects return to normal life in a year. I don't know that we'll ever return to normal life. What was normal life? You know, I guess the life we had before COVID is what he's talking about. He considers a return to normal life in a year with the caveat that annual COVID-19 vaccinations will be needed. Well, there's billions of dollars in play there for Pfizer in getting those booster shots every year. And I know that President Biden yesterday got a booster shot and is encouraging all Americans, I think 65 or older, to get a booster shot. All right, when we come back, a little bit more on the bond market, interest rates, and some individual stocks. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you've currently got Fed Chair Powell and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen testifying on Capitol Hill. You can watch that if you want on TV. That's always riveting testimony there. And they'll be talking about the debt ceiling, which is coming up on Friday, and they'll be talking about, I'm sure, inflation and other interesting subjects like that. Okay, well, let's take a look here. The bond market is moderating quite a bit. The sell-off in the bond market has abated considerably. It was panic selling overnight, which drove the bond yield on the 10-year up to 1.56. It's now settled back to 1.53. I said I think it's running into resistance here. I think it maybe could get up to 1.6 at the most and then start to fall back, which would be bullish. You know, you get a big turnaround in a big buying spree in the bond market, sending interest rates down, and that turns the tech stocks around. I would be looking more for some buying opportunities in select tech stocks on a day like today, as opposed to overreacting and selling. Now, let's hope Guggenheim CEO Scott Minard, a guy that I don't very rarely agree with, he says that the bond bull market is still intact. And he calls it a 40-year bull market in bonds. Well, if he's right, that means interest rates are going to remain low. The bond market's going to remain vibrant. And that's going to keep the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 moving higher. He says investors need to stay disciplined and consider remaining long their target duration. In other words, hold your bonds to maturity. Okay, we agree on that 100%. But he says that bond bull market is still intact. That would be good news for the stock market. Chinese cloud computing fund to be unveiled by Wisdom Tree Investments. I would say poor timing there. You going to run out and buy a Chinese cloud ETF right now? I don't know. Iconic Chicago restaurant chain Portillo's files for IPO. Home of the Chicago dog and the chili dog and other heartburn-causing maladies. They're going public. I have eaten at the Portillo's in Scottsdale, Arizona. They have several. And, yeah, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I wouldn't be buying it. ARK Investment steps up more Peloton with shares at four-month low. Look, it's not at the top of my list. Peloton is not at the top of my list. It just seems like more and more competition is coming into that. You've got Lululemon competing in that space, and now you've got a elephant getting into the room in the name of Apple that will have workouts online. Peloton has no sign of being profitable anytime soon. And it's hitting new 52-week lows almost. It's just not on the top of my list, but that's what ARK is snapping up. They snapped up another 80,000 shares here yesterday and making it the fund's 14th largest holding They own $162 million worth of Peloton as Kathy Wood's fund is keeping its foot on the pedal with shares of Peloton. Okay, what would I be looking at? I really liked the move in AMD yesterday. And that's one of our largest holdings. The chip sector actually makes companies more efficient and faster and helps tamp down and keep inflation low. And we know that there's a chip shortage. Well, the CEO of AMD today is saying that she sees the chip shortage abating in about a year or so, okay? It's just another one of those cycles like every commodity goes through where supply and demand are out of whack. And right now it's supply. The biggest issue with chips right now is supply, as a lot of companies slowed down their factories during the pandemic, and now they're getting them back up to full speed again, and now they're having trouble getting people to come back to work is another issue. But for me, AMD is the best chip stock out there. No, it's not Intel, and it's not others. I think AMD and NVIDIA are the two giants and kind of the blue chip stocks in the industry. And I'd maybe be looking at those two stocks over the today or the next few days, maybe finding a good entry point into those. AMD has pulled back here today. It's down 3.9%, which is about in line with what the NASDAQ is doing. Chip stocks may be down just a little bit more than the NASDAQ. I got to believe NVIDIA is probably down about that much, too. It's down 3.7% and sitting on its 50-day moving average. AMD is currently ranked pretty high in the best stocks now app.com. It was ranked number 354 here the last time I looked a few days ago. And NVIDIA is also a highly ranked stock. Let's just take a look and see at the current ranking of NVIDIA, which makes all kinds of very high-priced and high-demand chips and leading chips and profitable chips. It's ranked number 464 right now. It was number 38 just a few days ago. So those are just a couple of stocks that I would throw out there. Wouldn't be Peloton. I'm not interested in Peloton. But NVIDIA and AMD, I think, make more sense. Well, anyways, that's today's show. It's all about interest rates. You know, I saw during the night the futures going south, and I figured it had something to do with interest rates, and it did. You had the 10-year spiking up to 4.56 overnight. It's now settled down a little bit, or 1.56. We're now down to 1.53, and it's moderating. And if you get any kind of buying coming into the bond market, and interest rates going lower, you're going to see the stuff that's down today be way up tomorrow, just like you did with the Evergrande situation a week ago Monday. So at this point in time, I don't think this is the end of the 12-year-old bull market, but I'm going to gather as much information and as much evidence and facts as I possibly can today. I'll be tweeting during the day, sending out tweets to my subscribers. And to my followers on StockTwits or on Twitter, I am at Bill Gunderson. In the meantime, if you'd like to talk with us, 855-611-BESS. If you'd like to get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.